Welcome to Siemens Innovation in the Classroom podcast series. I'm your host, Dora Smith. Listen to hear some of the brightest minds in engineering education share insights and best practices to empower the next generation of digital talent. In this podcast, Hannah Straub interviews a graduate student engineer who is driving changes in curriculum at a top university. Hear how integrating practical examples and real-world applications in courses drives change on campus.
So today, I am very excited to be joined by a UC grad student. His name is Parikshit Borgoda.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to go ahead and preface this by saying that I have worked with Parikshit, I think one time before. It was at the very beginning of the summer when I was here with Gil Morris.
Right.
And so can you tell us a little bit about your engineering career thus far and how you got to working with Siemens and Gil especially, and how I got to meet you?
I came here It was 2016 fall. So I did my undergrad back in India. So I was a mechanical engineering student, then came here for my Master of Science in Mechanical Engineering. I've always been fascinated about designing things, you know, building stuff, seeing things I build move. So I think that's how I've always been interested in engineering as such. So when I came here for my master's, I knew I was doing some kind of simulation, you know, some kind of a numerical technique. That's what my research field was. That's what I had in my mind. So while I was looking for positions on campus, trying to see what's going to work for me, and then I think later on in 2017, Dr. Kim, he's the department head, he said, well, there is this Siemens position open, and this is a Siemens, we have the Siemens funding to set up this center and, you know, to get students acquired the knowledge on Siemens software and all that. And I was like, wow, that's something I want to be a part of. Gave him my resume and he was like, okay, it looks like you can do this job. And that's how I got plugged into the system. Before entering in this group, I only knew Siemens as a from the Solid Edge software that they had, because I learned Solid Edge when I was back in my undergrad, but then I didn't know anything else. I had a little bit of NX knowledge in a way that I knew it was UniGraphics, and then it's called NX now, but nothing much. But then when I got started, it was a fun ride, because if you look at the way NX is, it's not a very easy software to learn to start with. But once you learn the software, you see that how versatile it is. And unlike the other software, so it's like, it's got this learning curve. And then once you go top, and then you're like, wow, like it's better than any other software I've used. I think after that point, that's when I started instructing, served as an instructor to various courses on at UC. That's where I met Gil. He was, Gil is an amazing guy. I've met him like twice in a month we meet, because we have a bi-weekly meeting at our center. And we always go through how to offer these courses better to students, you know, how to get students an industrial experience as such, instead of just going through this old conventional theories or like, not theories, I mean, examples, basic examples, which is really not practical. So what we're trying to do is, how do we get an industrial example and get students to work on that? And that's what we're trying to do. And also, like, we have these plans of how, like, students start with basic designing, and then they go with simulation, and then 3D printing, you know. So at the whole spectrum of all the softwares that you know Siemens provides, we're trying to ensure students learn these, because it's really helpful, and these are the kind of softwares that they're going to be using in the industry. Well, if you don't know how to use a software, it becomes difficult, and mm-hmm. that's an edge. And I think by knowing what they're learning in class, the theory, and then putting it right after the words in the lab on these softwares, they get to know how it works and how it's, you know, how this transition from theory to a practical example, and not just some random example, a practical example, how it works. So that's an exciting journey. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for that background. Yep. I actually was interested, because I am assuming that you worked with any other software besides Siemens software?
Yep. I've worked with like CATIA. I've worked with other ANSYS simulation softwares like ANSYS. And then, SolidWorks. We actually had SolidWorks before we moved to NX, you know?
Okay.
And I've actually seen students coming from SolidWorks background, learning NX here too. So let me just share this. So before I started working as a graduate assistant, you know, trying to push NX into the curriculum, there was this one time I was a graduate assistant, a teaching assistant to an instructor who was offering SolidWorks to the students. So okay. At that point, I saw how the way the students use the software. And then now when I see the way students use NX, I can clearly see that the first, you know, how I told you about the learning curve, I can mm-hmm. clearly see that even with the case of students, the first 1.5 months, it's difficult to learn NX. But then once they do that, the examples, the final course examples that they practice or they solve on the system is much easier, and they do it in a easier way and, you know, faster way than they would using just SolidWorks. So
because of the NX program, and just to preface, I don't think that I introduced him as a software. You have developed a whole crash course for your students right. for NX.
Right, that's true.
And why is it the Siemens software that you think is easier and more practical to teach students as opposed to any other software, or why you think that it's the first thing you should teach?
Well, one, there's a ladder, you know, there's this level by level, you know, progress of courses you can teach if you're using Siemens software. Because so I'm like, once you start with designing, you are doing on NX, and also you go to NX Nastra and you can do simulations, and then you go Star CCM Plus, or you can do, the various other software. So basically you have this one Siemens, you know, one company offering all these softwares. So everything is linked. So if you're doing Ansys, well, I'll have to do designing on something else and then import the file, but the whole user interface changes. So, but that's not what you face when you're doing on NX, right? So once we do NX, you do NX Nastra. So you design and then you analyze. So there's this nice bridge. And then students don't have to learn multiple softwares just to do this. So if you're just following this one track, okay, you design, you analyze using a similar software because it's all Siemens. So you have similar kind of, you know, user interface. So it works out well, and it's easier for students to pick up. And also I've seen how new tools have been, you know, updated on Siemens. Like I'm biased because now I'm working on NX, but then I can definitely see that it's updated often, and you know, you can see these new tools pop up, and it's exciting to show students that, oh, hey, look, these are the new tools. Now you can do this. And yeah, so I think that's why I'd rather teach NX and not any other software.
So you say that NX has all of these different updates coming right. out. Are those easy with the curriculum and the training to teach to your students with the yes. constantly changing environment?
Yep, definitely.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yes. Okay, can you kind of harp on that at all, or?
I can't be particular on any one tool because I don't want to say the wrong thing right now, because it's been a while since I don't remember the name of the tools right now. But then when students design, you know, there are tools that you can use to make the same technique, you know, design the same thing in an easier way. You also have this great documentation by NX on, you know, on Siemens software webs. You know, there is this site, I think NX documentation, and there you have all the list of all the, you know, tools and how you can use them. All of that is available, so it makes it easier. So if I have any new tool, I just Google and I see, oh, well, it's on the NX documentation. And then I just teach that to the students and say, hey, this is an alternative way of doing the same thing. Look, this tool is available now. Because back then when I was using, you know, a previous version of NX, I think it was 7. I can't recollect now. Mm-hmm. But then before NX 10, I can see the difference now. And then I know, like, students can pick up on these, and it's easier for them to use these tools to design. And also, like, recently I learned about Learning Advantage that's yes. on NX. So that's amazing as well. That's made my job easier. So, you know, imagine if I have to go through, like, especially if I'm doing a special course, I would rather tell students to get started with Learning Advantage, you know, go through Learning Advantage, go through these basic courses, and then come back here, because in that way you're saving time on going through these basics. So you have this Learning Advantage, which is great. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if other softwares provide any kind of, you know, supplement materials for students or like other users at all, but I know Siemens does. Mm-hmm. Well, I would rather use something where I have enough documentation sources to teach students than somewhere where I'll be lost.
And I've actually delved into the Learning Advantage software myself because I've been writing editorials on it. The updates at least, and there's a full introduction to the software, and practice problems and different, for example, the vehicle simulations or the transmission systems update in AIMSIM, SimCenter AIMSIM that I just wrote about. Mm. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
we have a graduate assistant working on that as well. Yeah. So, yes.
And so I just think for me, even not being an engineering student, it was easy for me to understand. And I think that's such a cool tool because our software is not easy to understand. You need to go through this curriculum and this training and the crash course that you created. Speaking of that, are there any cool or really interesting example problems that you created that you think are super beneficial?
Well, right now, I mean, this was the first crash course that I made. Like previously, what I've been doing is we have the course at UC called Engineering Design Graphics, where they get started with design graphics. And that's where we have introduced NX and we teach a lot of examples. And this is for the mechanical engineering students, mechanical engineering and mechanical engineering technology students, METs and MEs. That's what we call them. So for the aerospace students, they don't have any of these, any design graphics curriculum as such. So they just learn STAR CCM+, or they learn other analysis softwares. So recently, that's when one of the department heads in the aerospace department, you know, told me, why don't you teach NX to our students? But this is summer, so they're not on campus. So the only way we could do it is a crash course as such, you know, just get them started with NX, show them specific tools so that they can start designing, you know. So when I survey, I sent out a survey so that I know what students know and what they don't. I was surprised that most of the students had less or no experience on CAD.
Really?
Well, yeah, so that's bad because if they don't have design experience, and it's going to be difficult. So they will need to learn on their own by the time they come to senior year, because then they're doing senior projects. They need to know some design software so that they can design their projects. But if they don't, that it's going to be a problem. So I was like, okay, I'm going to come, you know, prepare a crash course. It was six classes over a period of 2 weeks, 1 hour each. And then this was an online session. So this was the first time I was doing an online session. Previously, all the sessions have been in class. And it's different when you're teaching in class, because there you have students, you're interacting with them, and then you know where they're stuck, you can guide them. But when you're doing an online session, well, you just have to gauge, are they really understanding? Are they up there? So yeah, so this was the first time I did a crash course. It was just a beginner's. It was an introduction to NX, and then just showing them tools and then solving a few examples. So one of the examples that I asked them to work on was machinist vice. Mm-hmm. So we have examples like machinist vice and the connecting rod straightener that we ask our students to work on in the engineering design graphics class. But in this crash course, we didn't have enough time to ask them to work on all the examples because, well, we are short on time. We need to just ensure they learn. So we just had one example. But then it was great to have students learn in a distant, you know, learning kind of thing. So that was good. But I'm really excited to see at this point, since you asked me about examples, every end of the semester, we have this big project exhibition as such. You know, we have design presentations. So at end of the semester, we have all the students in engineering design graphics class presenting their projects or examples they come up with. This time we are planning to get some additional industrial examples. So they will have a real problem. Connecting rod straightener is a real problem. Machinist wise is a real problem, but they're going to get more examples, more set of examples. We're preparing this doc, you know, we're preparing towards this. So it's going to be exciting, but yeah, that's where we are at right now. It's still being made. So it's in making, you know, in progress.
Do you think that will be something that you could implement in the near future or...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. And it's going to be very useful to students.
And other students will be able to learn from the presentations as well and figure out if they want to.
So all these, all the sessions were recorded. So we recorded every session that I taught, I instructed online, and these videos were sent to students, and then, you know, they can watch it at home. Something interesting is that even in this crash course, I gave them the Learning Advantage link. I told them you can sign in and, you know, work on these courses in that way. They can also go back home and work on it. There's something interesting is at the lab, at the center we are doing, we have our own center website, Siemens Simulation Technology Center at University of Cincinnati.
Yes, I've been on that website.
Yep. So we are developing examples on that. And, you know, we get students to step-by-step get started on the software. So we have at least one or two examples on each software right now. So, and that was very useful. So when I asked some of the students on, you know, how they're learning, you know, I showed them the software which has one example, but with that one example, you can pretty much get started with designing. So mm-hmm. it's a simple, example. So one of these students, in fact, emailed me, like he finished this example and he was like, okay, I learned. Okay. And so he said, as you were going on in class, it was difficult to catch up. But then once I saw this example that was available on the website, it was easy. So, and that was the purpose we developed this, mm-hmm. you know, because we know that students in class might miss. There are students who might not necessarily ask questions. They might be like, okay, silent. Okay, you're teaching something. All right, I'm going to figure it out. But when you have a website or you have Learning Advantage, you know, you have a document, then they go to it and then they go through this whole process of learning again, you know, slowly at their own pace. Because when you're teaching in a class, you have different students learning at a different pace. So you go somewhere in the middle. But then, so for students who are slow, or students who are fast, well, they can always go to this website or NX Learning Advantage platform or the documentation itself and learn new tools. So that's amazing. So we are trying to get students not just stick to, you know, us teaching in class, mm-hmm. but try to explore all these different resources that Siemens have, and at the same time, resources we are developing and we are updating on our website.
You literally answered my next question about what you've learned about students' needs in the classroom and their reactions to the technology. Do you think that now, because of the NX Crash Course program, that they are more aware of all these career opportunities at Siemens as well?
They do. And they also are aware of all the different softwares that are offered at Siemens, because now they can go to NX Learning Advantage and then they see it's not just NX. You also have various other softwares. You have EMSIM. You have other softwares that you can learn. And so, and these courses are available for them. So they don't have to wait for any course to be developed at all. If they're interested to learn, they can go ahead and, you know, start learning. And it works better than just random YouTube videos, because they're not really well structured. But these are well structured. The Learning Advantage courses are well structured. I've gone through them myself, so they're good.
And the students can go at their own pace too.
Yes, exactly. That works.
I didn't even know that you used Learning Advantage. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, we just got started on that. So I think I was on this one meeting with Jerry, I guess. And then that's when they were talking about Learning Advantage. And this was 4 or 5 months back, and I was like, wait, why have I not used Learning Advantage till now? And then that's when I've started implementing, and it's much easier. And to find the resources, it's very easy. It's, you know, to learn a software, it's good.
Yeah.
You don't have to break your head, go through those YouTube videos or go through this, courses, pay them online. No, none of that is required. So
I'm actually going to bring up a point that I was talking about in an earlier podcast today, about my manager went to the GEDC student forum. I think that was what it's called, but it was just a forum that took some surveys of different students and how they learn and the application of their studies. And most people, I think it was a majority of the kids, said that they learn from hands-on experience. But another major point that they made was lectures were something that students also said they learned from, and especially STEM students, which was interesting to me, because in my experience of a lecture hall, you know, you're sitting there, there's 500 other kids with you. Mm-hmm. It's just a professor at the front lecturing to you. You're taking notes, not as engaging as you would think. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to talk with you about that. And what do you think is the most engaging way for students to learn? Because obviously you can teach them, and they have all this, like the Learning Advantage and the software as well, to go at their own pace. But what do you think is the most engaging way?
Definitely, I would say, you know, a classroom kind of an environment is helpful, and it's the most beneficial to students, because the way you can answer the questions, it might be that, or they really don't know what they're searching for otherwise, you know. So if you have someone who knows the software teaching them there, I would say there should be some kind of self-paced learning as well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, a classroom learning is important, because then you have someone who knows the software ready to show you how some certain design operations are done. And then, so for example, in our class, in a typical class, we have like at least 3 instructors going around in the class. So we have like 60 to 80 students. So we have 3 instructors. So the class, so it's like at least 1 instructor per 20 students. So that's a good...
That's an awesome ratio.
So they're all getting attention, and we're ensuring that the problems are solved. What we saw is, you know, with respect to this, initially I thought like, you know, I know that over like 3 semesters, I realized there are certain questions that students always ask. Sorry, after 2 semesters, I started making these videos online, some videos so that I record these and, you know, how to solve certain problems on NX, you know, and then send it out to students. And I realized that these videos were like at least 20 to 30 minutes long. And what I would see is students would mostly not see the whole video because of their attention span is so small. They would still be like, okay, how do you do this one function? And I'd be like, well, go to that video. It's 20 minutes long and I answer those questions. But no, they wouldn't do it. So that's when we realized, well, we got to do smaller videos. And that's when Gil, you know, we had this one meeting and I was explaining this problem to Gil. And Gil said, why don't you try 2-minute videos? Mm-hmm. Probably that's going to work. And then I tried and it works because then they know exact video to go to when they have this certain problem. And they don't have to scan to 20 yeah. minutes and then try to see where I explain this. So we have seen that we're trying to experiment. We have seen how 2-minute videos answering certain problems or common problems that students experience can be a solution. Basically, we're trying to get a way in which students can maybe do outside in classroom learning. For example, if I'm developing crash courses and if I want students to learn on their own, we want these videos, like 2-minute videos, to help them as much as you can. Yes. Because in class, I'm available to answer, or like me or the other instructors are available to answer. But then it's crash course. Well, we have a specific time. It becomes difficult. So hopefully these videos will help them.
Well, it sounds like you have a very structured yet not structured way yes. of teaching, and that reaches more students.
Exactly.
And helps them understand the software better. It's yep. a lot of dedication on your part, I can just see, because a lot of teachers, at least in my experience, you know, the education system is amazing and it's always going to be amazing, but the way that you're teaching is exponentially helping more students as opposed to making them more confused with an already complicated subject. So that's awesome that you're doing that.
I think kind of the push is because we have a simulation center in school, like, and we have Gil visiting us once in 2 weeks, and that we know that, you know, we want to ensure like there's some progress. It's not stalled. It's not like you just develop this course. This is what conventional teaching, that this is what happens. So a professor and an instructor, you know, prepares this course and does the same thing over like 5 years, you know, it's the same thing. So you have no changes. But then when you're doing something like this, where you're updating to someone in a meeting, in a biweekly meeting, you know, things have to be changed. You get feedback, you put it out there in the group and say, okay, this is what we heard. Can we do better? Can we do more industry? You know, can we link the students to get into industry, like so that they know what's happening in the industry. So that's where we are at. And also partly hearing out students, right? So recently, I mean, we're trying to implement this. So let me just tell you what we're doing. So after designing, you can 3D print these models, right? And we just asked students to work on machinist vice connecting rod straighteners. And one of the students, he's 3D printed the whole machinist vice because he had 3D printer back at home. Wow. He went for, it was this one a week of spring break. During the spring break, he went back home. And then after spring break, he's back with a 3D printed model. And then me and Professor Acker, John Acker, he's Mr. John Acker, is the instructor who I teach with. So we were like, wow, that's amazing. So maybe we should get started on 3D printing. And now what we're trying to do is we're trying to ask students to probably 3D print towards the end of the class, you know, okay. at the end of the course. In that way, they see the model come to life after the design. It's just not something on the system. They can see it, they can feel it, and they know, wow, yeah. this is what they're designing. That's more exciting than designing, and then you're lost. So we basically want students to love the software, start designing more, and yeah.
That real life yeah. application too. Because I've held a 3D model before, and I've worked with 3D printing one time, mm-hmm. but it's so cool. And it's to know that you actually went through all those calculations and that process to design something that is so tangible really, I think, hits people more than they would think. And so that's that real world application. That's awesome. You like blew my mind with that. I'm really glad that I got to talk to you about more of your crash course and your teaching style. If you would like to add anything else, I have one more question. It's more of a broad question, but did you want to kind of further explain anything?
So at the Simulation Technology Center, we're not just doing NX graphics.
Okay.
We're doing, we have a set of students developing their own apps, you know, manufacturing yeah. apps. Then we have we have graduate assistants working on AIMSIM, Nastran, we have STAS ECM Plus. I myself use STAS ECM Plus for my research work, which okay. is completely different from what I'm teaching in class. So we are a group of people working on Siemens software, trying to engage in this. It's a very good environment there on campus. So I think I'll definitely say it's also the environment where you're working at that helps you, you know, develop the course, and that's helping. So, yeah.
And that's all because of the partnership program.
Yeah, that's great. So we need more partnership programs like that.
Sounds good. Well, my last question for you is, if you have any advice for future engineers, aspiring engineers, like any younger kids in STEM right now, what advice would you give them?
I would say try to, you know, see what the future lies in. Don't be stuck in the old technology. Try to move further. Like, you know, I know students who think if it's mechanical engineering, you just want to do mechanical engineering. No, that's not how it works now. If you're a mechanical engineer, you need to know computer science. You need to know how to program. You need to know how to work on electronics. You need to know every other field, because nothing in this world today right now is just one field. Like, it's all interconnected. So I think it's very important that students, no matter which branch of engineering they're in, they need to look into every other branches as well and try to pick up a subject or two from here and there, because it's going to help them, because that's where the future is. It's not just one branch that you need to work on. You will have to know enough about other branches of engineering as well. So it's getting tough there, so you got to prepare.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's a cool aspect, because if you have a holistic view of engineering, you're going to be able to do so much more at a company anyway.
Right.
And especially with Siemens, such a large company that's consistently growing, and our tagline for digital industries is realize innovation. So that's a key component of our company. And so just instilling that idea that nothing is going to happen if you don't change and innovate every day and keep up with the technology in the world. And that's what working here is all about. That's what your crash course is all about.
Yes.
Even as Siemens comes out with new technologies, you're there to explain it to people and say like, okay, well, we used to do it this way. Now we're doing it this way because this works better. That's so awesome.
Yeah, again, it's going to be a constant change. Maybe if right now we think this is the way we got to teach, probably in the near future, we're going to be like, no. Scrap all this and say, okay, this is the way we got to do it. But then,
can't be mad about it either.
Yeah, but it's good. As long as we know that students are learning better, then you have this ultimate satisfaction at the end of the day that, well, I instructed, I taught this, and the students liked it. And that's important. And I think, and I've always loved teaching. So to me, that's important personally. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Parikshi, for joining us on the podcast today. I hope that we can talk soon, and I hope that you have luck with your crash course. Have you already implemented it?
Yes, the basic beginners.
Okay.
No, the crash course to an introduction to NX. That's what we have started with.
Gotcha.
So now I'm asking students if they want to know anything in particular. So see, these are aerospace engineering students. So, you know, what they might want to design is different from what other branch of engineering might want to design. Okay. So I've asked them, is there any specific tools that you would want to learn? So I'm still waiting back to hear from them. Once I know what they want to work on, then I prepare a module again, specific examples, and then shoot another crash course.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, well, good luck with all of your future endeavors.
Thank you
so much for talking to me.
Thank you so much, Hannah.
Of course.
You for having me here. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.